You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
Proverbs 30:25, it says, the ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. So a rhetorical question, are you preparing? Are you preparing for being older? Are you preparing for how things are going to be 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Regarding your finances, regarding your relationships, I'm going to talk more about that in a moment. So you got to think about tomorrow and the long-term results of your decisions today. You got to think about tomorrow and the long-term decisions, the long-term results of your decisions today. So the text says, keep your mouth from speaking guile and basically walk in the ways of God. You got to realize that everything you do and everything you say today are seeds planted for tomorrow. Let me say that again. Everything you do and everything you say today are seeds for tomorrow. Now, what is a seed? A seed is something sown small, but it grows big. A seed is something that can even look insignificant, but it produces something very significant. Look at Mark 4. Mark 4, 31, 32, when Jesus starts talking about seed, he says, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, when it starts off, when it's sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Talking about a mustard seed. It is so small, he says, the smallest seed in the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out great branches so that the fowls of the air can lodge under the shadow of it. And as I looked at that verse, I started thinking about, now, this is a good thing. It's a good thing that he's saying, you know, it starts off as a small seed, becomes a mustard tree and great branches, and now birds can lodge in it. But do you want everything you're doing today to grow? Do you want whatever you're doing today to have more branches? And that's what I say to y'all a lot about how we live our lives in front of our children. Because you're planting seeds, you're going to have more branches of that. I saw that in my family. I saw them sow those seeds of everybody shacking, living together, and now third generation, everybody just shacking. Nobody getting married. Because it became what they saw. It sowed seeds, now they got branches. Do you want to have branches from the activity that you're having today? Every day we're sowing seeds to our actions. Every day we're sowing seeds to our action. Psalms 112, 5 and 6, it says, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. So see, a good man, you know, helps other people out. And he will guide his affairs with discretion, and surely he will not be moved forever. I mean, he go through something, but he's going to come out of it. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. You know, I grew up hearing stuff like, you know, it don't matter, you know, everything was about heaven and hell. So people say, it don't matter how you live, if you don't receive Jesus, you're going to hell. Yeah, I get that. I get that. But good deeds are rewarded in the earth. Now, good deeds don't necessarily get you going to heaven, but good deeds can make you have some good relationships. Good deeds can give you a good name. Good deeds can make somebody want to help you. No, you can't do good deeds to go to heaven. You do good deeds, okay, to build relationships with people. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. Psalms 112 and 9, it says, this good man, he has dispersed abroad, that's talking about being generous, he's given to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. His home will be exalted with honor. He said, the person who does good, helps people, and bless people, it produces great harvest for his life and for his family years to come. Often think about, the Bible says that when Solomon got ready to build the temple, he needed timber or lumber. And he writes a letter to Hiram, the king of Lebanon. And the first thing it says, Hiram was glad to help him because Hiram was ever a lover of David. In other words, David had built such a relationship that now when his son needed something, he had no problem giving it to him. So he had sown some good seeds that was now going to be resurrected in the life of his son. Every day we're sowing seeds also with our words. Our words. Look at your neighbor. Watch your mouth. James 3rd chapter, verse 4 and 5, when James wants to tell us, try to let us see how significant this tongue is, this mouth is. He said, look at a ship. Look at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member of our body, but it boasts great things. Little members, but it does great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? These forest fires that we see, usually many times you realize that started with a cigarette. And it can end up burning down thousands of acres. And he's saying that's what our tongue does. And yet many of us, we don't think about it. We say anything and we just, you know, we just always wagging it. And you got to be thinking about what you're saying. James 3:3, the Message translation of that verse, it says, a small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. Every day, we are building up something or destroying something with our mouth. For those of us who are parents, we're building our children up or we're destroying them with our mouth. We're encouraging them or discouraging them with our mouth. We are giving them a positive attitude or we're giving them a negative attitude with our mouth. So something will be produced or failed to be produced based upon something that we've said or something we've done. I remember the first time that whatever your life is today is a result of your words on yesterday. First time I heard it, I'm like, what? Okay. But basically we're saying that we're living in today the harvest of what we were speaking. So if you would say, man, I'll never have no money, it's no wonder why you never have any money. You're prophesying your own future with your words. This is not New Age stuff. This is Bible. Something will be reproduced or fail to be reproduced based upon something that we have said or something we've done. Matthew 12, verse 36. This verse really bothers me. I'm going to tell you why here in a moment. It says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word, they shall give an account in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, or by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Every idle word, you're going to give an account. Well, I don't understand. If it's an idle word, why do I have to give an account for it? Okay? So that tells me there's really no such thing as an idle word. Are y'all with me here? All fire is hot. There's no such thing as not non-hot fire. Every word we speak produces something or is not producing something. Every word we speak is increasing something or decreasing something. So the Bible said we got to give an account. Everybody say account. Account is mathematical term, accounting term. I mean, in other words, something going to be either credited or debited from our lives based upon what we say. Something going to show up or something not going to show up. Something going to be there or not be there. Something going to be added or taken away. Something going to be credited or debited based upon what we say. So watch your mouth. A strategy for longevity, I got to watch what I be saying, okay? I was listening on the way here on Sunday morning. There's a, I ain't going to mention, but there's a preacher who I know. He's preached for us. He usually brings really good word, but he was joking, talking about, he preached actually from Proverbs 3 about wisdom. And he was saying he went to the movies and saw his friend. He said his friend had the largest bucket of popcorn he had ever seen. He said, must have been a $20 bucket. He said, and he had butter on butter on butter on butter on butter on butter. You know, because, you know, we like it layered. We want it to be on the seeds at the bottom. He said, all this butter. He said, and then he ordered that Diet Coke. He was laughing, but then he said this. He said, man, it's too late. You dead now. I said, oh. I'm like, why are you going to kill the man? He said, he was joking, you know. He said, man, it's too late. You're dead now. Sometimes we say things like that. My son was telling me about someone a couple weeks ago who said I'm not sure I'll be here when this happens. And he said, no, you don't say, don't even talk like that. He called me up and he said, Dad, she just died. Looked at him and said, watch your mouth. A lot of stuff we're joking about, but it ain't funny. You know, poverty ain't funny. You know, some of us, we grow up joking about poverty. Man, I'm so broke, I can't pay no attention. You ain't joking about that when you get foreclosed on your house. A lot of these jokes that we're saying, we got to really be watching our mouth. By your words, going to be justified. By your words, going to be condemned. Ecclesiastes 5, 6, and 7. Now, look at this. Don't let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. The Undoubted translation says, don't write a check that you can't cash. Don't let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God, that's from an angel, that it was an error. My bad, I didn't mean that. Look at this. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there's vanity. Fear God. Watch what you're saying. So this also tells me you can be working on something and God can be blessing it and you start saying the wrong thing. And the works of your hand are destroyed. Just imagine in the middle of us building this project, say, man, we ain't gonna never get this, but the money ain't gonna never come in. Even if you get started, but now you're cursing your future with your words. So we create and we give life to our thoughts by speaking them. How do we create and give life to our thoughts? By speaking them. Proverbs 18:20, it says, a man's mouth will be satisfied from the fruit, a man's stomach will be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Nice poetic way of saying, you're going to have exactly what you say. You're going to have exactly what you say. Your stomach is going to be satisfied with what you've been producing with your mouth. So our mouth produces things. And from the produce of his lips, he's going to be filled. So there are three basic areas that we really need to have a strategy for longevity about, okay? And I'm not sure I'll get through them all today, but let me at least start. Number one, you got to have a strategy for relationships. I've seen too many people just mess up good relationships. You know, they got this thing called ghosting today. And y'all ever been ghosted? I heard people talking about being ghosted, and they say, have you ever been ghosted? I watched a television show. Then I realized, I think I told Pastor Marshall, I said, I realized I got ghosted. I hadn't thought about it. I have a friend who I confronted him about something, his lifestyle, and he ghosted me. Won't respond to a text. If I come to town and visit, he don't take my calls. Got ghosted. And there are people who know that we were friends like since I was a teenager, and they're like, what? Ain't no way. They can't imagine. But some people, they don't know how to manage even conflict in relationships. And let me tell you something. If you have a friend who can't tell you the truth, that ain't a real friend. You need a cheerleader. A friend ought to be able to tell you the truth. I often say this, you can't see your own butt. You need a friend to help you see your butt. And so sometimes you need to be able to take things from people who are close enough to see it and receive it. So first thing I want to tell you about is you need to have a strategy for longevity in relationships. Interpersonal relationships are critical to longevity. Interpersonal relationships are critical to longevity. Now, I don't know if y'all heard me say this. When I moved to Maine, I worked for my uncle. And I'm 62 years old, and I've never met anyone in my life as unscrupulous as this man. There may be people, but I don't know them. I mean, the people in terms of who I personally had to, I never met anyone with that much lack of integrity. I'm sure there may be, but again, me personally. And so it was an executive recruiting firm. Executive recruiting firm, I call you up, you're an engineer, and I talk to you about a job that's over here, and I try to tell you about the job and try to get you to leave your company and go take this job over here, and we got a commission from it. And I remember telling him, I said, I almost had him. I said, but his job, the current company he's with, is matching his 401k 100%. And he said, well, just tell him that they match it too. I said, but that's not true. They only match 50%. He said, by the time he find out, he'll be on the job. He said, by the time he find out, he'll be on the job. I said, I can't do that. He said, listen, get the money and move on. There's always another sucker out there. Can you imagine somebody thinks like that? Pretty soon you're going to run out of suckers. And the sucker's going to rebel against you. And the sucker's going to come and beat you up. You can't just keep abusing people and think you're going to get away with that in life. That's going to come back to bite you. And so I never knew anyone who thought like that. When I thought, he felt you could just take advantage of people because there's always another customer. Take advantage of people because there's always going to be somebody else to take advantage of. Just profit, get what you can from people, and move on. Interpersonal relationships are critical to longevity. First one I want to talk about is us as parents. Parents. Relationship with your parents is important. Amen. I grew up most of my life without my parents. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 says, honor your father and your mother. It said, honor them. Which is the first commandment with promise. Watch this. And it's a strategy for longevity. That it may be what? Well with you, and you may what? Live long on the earth. I was talking to another pastor about someone. I said, man, this person is really great. He has a great ministry. And I said, there's only one thing concerned about. I said, he don't really respect his parents. His parents don't have much influence. They don't listen to his parents. And he said to me, he said, well, that ain't gonna last long. I said, huh? He said, well, then it's not gonna last long. And I said, why'd you say that? And then he reminded me of the scripture. Honor your father and your mother, that your days, that'll go well with you, and your days will be what? Now watch this. You honor your mother and your father because they're your mother and your father. Now, I'm going to go deeper. Because suppose they ain't honorable. Just chill out. The first thing, you honor them because that's your mother, your father. There's a certain honor. There's some of you, I have a closer relationship with others here in this church, but many of you, you will honor me just because, even if you didn't know me, if your first day here, never seen me on television or heard the radio, and you met me and somebody said, well, he's the pastor. There's a certain honor you will give me just because you find that I'm the pastor because of my position. Am I right? And so you honor your father and mother, first of all, because that's your mother and your father. It didn't even say they're supposed, they don't have to earn the honor. The former president one day, he was at a press conference one day and somebody asked him a question and he said, don't ever talk to me like that. I'm the president of the United States. And I thought to myself, if you were acting in a way that was more honorable, you wouldn't have to tell somebody, don't talk to me like that. But the truth of the matter is, there is a certain amount of respect that he's due, whether we like it or not, because he's the president of the United States. And the Bible says, honor kings and all those who are in authority, right? So first of all, parents. But now let's go a little deeper. But parents, you also have an obligation to be honorable before your children. You should be honorable before your children. You should want your children to honor you, listen to me, from a heart of appreciation and not merely a duty of obligation. Let me say that again. Parents, you should want your children to honor you from a heart of appreciation and not merely a duty of obligation. So you don't have to tell them, you don't talk to me like that, I'm your mother. You don't talk to me like that, I'm your father. If you are honorable, you don't have to go through that. Ephesians 6 and 4, New Living Translation, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. That tells me as fathers and parents, we can be mistreating our children. And I'm talking about beyond just being infants and spanking them, even beyond that. Rather, bring them up in the discipline and the instruction that comes from the Lord. And some of our instruction, we got to start getting it from the Lord and not our tradition. Well, my mama did this, my daddy did that, and they said, and you know, I mean, I was beat with extension cord. I never beat my children with extension cord. Well, God didn't get that switch. I would tell them, don't come back. Then some of y'all were real abusive. Made them braid the switches. Honor them with the instruction that comes from the Lord. That verse from the Amplified says, fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. You're just irritating them and provoking them to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and the admonition of the Lord. Now watch this, because when you think long and wide, you realize the way that I treat my children will depend on whether I see my grandchildren. Let me say it again, you gotta think long and wide. The way you treat your children will determine whether you see your grandchildren. Because, and if they felt that they were abused by you and even verbally, why would they wanna, if they can protect their children from going through what they went through with you? I did that. I deliberately did not have my children around Aunt Dottie. She was verbally abusive. We went there at the last, I would be in Jersey City the whole week. We stopped by to see her. The plane leaving at 1 o'clock. I stopped by to see her at 12. Well, we're on the way to the airport. She said, well, when y'all get here, I changed the subject. You gotta think long and think wide. But you will reap a reward through your children. If you treat your children right and think long and wide about this relationship, you'll reap a reward. Did y'all know in the Bible there was no Social Security? In the Bible there was no 401k, no 403b, No pensions. Children, what a pension. Children, were your Social Security. Which means in the Bible, I'm sure they will really think about it. I better treat this boy good. He's gonna need to take care of me. You'll reap reward through each. 1 Timothy 5 and 4. It says, the context here is that the early church, they were debating and they were confused. They were, the widows were starting to be taxing on the church. Remember, the church early would take care of widows and all that and help provide for them. Again, no Social Security and all that. And so Paul says, listen, he says, now we can't be taking care of all these folks. Church ain't got that much money. He said, this is what we're going to do. He says, let it be widows indeed. He said, they need to be 60 and older. He said, and they need to be having no children or grandchildren or whatever. He said, because if they're younger than 60, he said, tell them, go get another husband. That's what the Bible says. Somebody said, ain't that simple. So 1 Timothy 5 and 4, he said, but if any be a widow and has children or grandchildren, let those children or grandchildren first learn to show piety at home and repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before the Lord. So if you treat your children well, think long and think wide, they will repay you. Now, to repay, you first got to pay. You can't have a harvest where you haven't sown seed. And some of us, we don't have good relationships with our children. And some of it is just dysfunction that you had from your mother, from her mother, and her mother, and you talk to people any kind of way. You're cussing your kids out. You're yelling and screaming all the time. You say things that you think is funny that's really hurtful. And then they don't want to be around that. You will reap reward through your children if you think long and think wide. Proverbs 31, 26 to 28. Y'all get anything out of this? Proverbs 31, 26 to 28. It talks about, you know, we know about this, the virtuous woman who does all this stuff, right? Takes care of the house, takes care of the husband, takes care of the servants. Then it goes on to say, Proverbs 31, 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. See what? No, that means she knows what to say. I know a lot of you open up your mouth, but do you open it with wisdom? So she knows what to say. And on her tongue is the what? Law of kindness. So this mother, when she speaks wise and she speaks kind. She speaks wise words and she speaks kind words. She watches over the ways of her household. In other words, she takes care of the children, takes care of the house. And she does not eat the bread of idleness. Y'all know what that means? She ain't lazy and trifling. Now, you can't be open your mouth with a lot of foolish talk, be mean with your mouth, don't take care of the house, sit on your behind all the time, and get verse 28. Because what happens to this woman who opens her mouth with wisdom, and the woman who has the law of kindness, the one who watches over a house. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Now, this is years to come, a strategy for longevity. You got to be thinking, if I treat my children well today, if I take care of my children well today, later on they're going to bless me. Now, I got to go a little deeper here because some of y'all, you are after everything else other than investing in your children. And these jobs aren't loyal and these careers aren't loyal. And at the end of the day, you're going to have your children and your family and you don't get the years back. You don't get them back. You can add on, yes, Lord, give you a longer life, but you don't get those years back. Her children rise up and call her blessed. The New Living of that verse says, her children stand and bless her and her husband praises her. This is strategy for longevity. This is years down the line. Now, starting off, you may be grinding with those kids. Starting off, it ain't easy with those kids. Starting off, feel like those kids getting on your last nerve. Starting off, if it ain't one thing, it's another. But if you invest it and put the right time in, the right words in, the right kindness in, and not be idle, not be lazy when it comes to investing in your children, they rise up and bless you. The Message translation says, her children respect and bless her. I won't even ask. But there may be people here who you really don't respect your parents. I have to honestly say, as I look back, okay, from an adult standpoint, I don't respect my parents. I don't respect them because they put everything else, looked to me, everything else first before us. And looking back now, and all the more after raising children and seeing what it takes and the choices you make, her children respect and bless her, and then her husband joins in with words of praise. That's a strategy for longevity with your children.
Stay connected with us in person or online. Stream our services live on YouTube or rightdirection.info on Sundays at 9 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. On Fridays, join Dr. Marsha Bailey for Manifest at 12 noon online only. If you're in the local area, join us in Columbia, South Carolina at 1705 Shivers Road. If you're in the Florence or Orangeburg area, join us for services there. For campus service times and locations, visit rightdirection.info.